You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves with SBS On The Money for this Wednesday, the 13th of January 2021. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, Coon Cheese gets a new name, so we take a look at the world of rebrands. But first, we've got some good news on the Australian economy, and the number of job vacancies, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, hit above 250,000 in the November quarter to a record, suggesting there are many jobs out there to be filled and that the unemployment rate is likely to fall. So for more on that and where jobs are going, I spoke earlier with Callum Pickering, APAC economist at Indeed. So, Callum, job vacancies are at record levels, back above pre-COVID numbers, but what exactly does that mean?
Well, when job vacancies are at record levels, ultimately that means that a lot of people are going to find jobs in the next couple of months, and that's going to lead to a much lower unemployment rate going forward. So it's a huge positive for the Australian economy.
How would you describe the state of the labour market, though?
Well, we've made a lot of progress over the past 6 months, but we still have a long way to go. Employment is still 1.1% below its pre-crisis peak, and the unemployment rate is still at a level that we haven't seen consistently in two decades. Nevertheless, the recovery so far has been much quicker than policymakers anticipated, and there is a very real possibility that employment this year will exceed those pre-crisis levels.
Where are the jobs needed to be filled?
Well, the strongest industry for job vacancies right now is healthcare and social assistance. It is Australia's largest employer. It does tend to suffer from skill shortages. And right now it accounts for around 15% of all job vacancies. But particularly pleasing has been the improvement we've seen over the past 6 months in areas such as hospitality, retail and recreation, three industries that were particularly hard hit from the crisis. All three of those industries right now have vacancies that are either at or near record levels, and that's just fantastic news for workers in those areas.
And when it comes to jobs vacancies and essentially jobs growth, right, how does it compare around the country, and how much of an impact does localised restrictions and especially border restrictions have?
So job vacancies in every state and territory, except for Victoria, is above its pre-crisis level. Victoria is only slightly below. Obviously, economic restrictions have hampered recruitment in Victoria to some degree, although thankfully that has improved since restrictions were lifted in early November. Border closures may be having some sort of limited impact, largely in sectors that are exposed to tourism. So we are thinking about hospitality and retail being two of the obvious ones. But it doesn't appear to be having a huge impact right now, perhaps because the biggest impact upon vacancies right now is simply that the economy, for the most part, is beginning to operate as normal. That's the driving impact on what we're seeing across the labour market right now.
The rollback of government stimulus measures, is that likely to have an impact on jobs?
So the removal of JobKeeper and JobSeeker represents the first big economic challenge for Australia in 2021. These are two policies that largely kept the Australian economy functioning throughout much of 2020. The removal of these policies is certainly going to be disruptive for some businesses and industries. I think small businesses are likely to be the most at risk once these policies are completely wound back. However, it is worth noting that the economy today is much stronger than anticipated when the federal government announced that they were going to wind back these policies. So most Australian businesses, most Australian industries are much better placed to manage this challenge than they were a few months back.
And putting all of that together, including these jobs vacancies numbers, what's it likely to mean for the unemployment rate? And have we peaked at unemployment at 7.5%?
Well, it certainly appears as though the unemployment rate will decline quite steadily, at least in the first half of 2020. These job vacancies numbers are consistent with fairly strong employment growth. And if that comes to pass, and we should know that in early 2021, it is likely that the unemployment rate will decline quite significantly from where it was towards the end of the year.
Callum Pickering there, Indeed economist for APAC. From jobs, let's go to the Australian share market, and the S&P ASX 200 rose today 0.1% to 6,686. Energy led the gains, Woodside up 5.2%. One of the real stories of the day, and we'll go into more detail in a few moments, are the retailers. They did very well thanks to a profit upgrade from Premier Investments. That's the company that owns brands like Just Jeans and Smiggle. Shares up by 13% there. Supermarket retailers like Woolies and Coles fell, and CSL lost 0.7%. For more on the market action today, I spoke earlier with Junbei Liu from Tribeca Investment Partners. Junbei, the market seesawed in and out of positive territory today. Why?
Well, it's absolutely because of the very light volume that is still taking place. Fund managers and investors are still yet to return fully to work. So the trading is very, very light. But however, we are seeing big price movements for some of the companies that have released the positive news.
Retail stocks doing very well today on the back of a profit upgrade from Premier Investments. How exactly have retailers benefited from the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. The big benefit has been that people are locked in their houses and they're not allowed to travel overseas. Travel is a big component, and all that annual spend on the travel overseas has been trapped within Australia, and that has been spent within Australia to the retailers. Now, online retailers has benefited in a large way, and as well as the offline retailer. And at the same time, the government has provided a lot of handout to consumer, and that portion of it has been spent to the retailers. Premier's numbers today, it's beat consensus. The half-year numbers has beat the consensus full-year forecast by 20%, and that is just phenomenal numbers. So we're expecting more incredible numbers to come through from retailers this reporting season.
When you look at those retailers, is it purely the ones that have got that heavy exposure to online sales that are doing well, or is it across the board?
Yeah, this is actually very interesting. Online retailers have benefited first when people were not allowed to go into the shops. But now we're actually seeing profit upgrade across the board, even in purely offline retailers. We heard from Nick Scali, we heard from the likes of ARB and Premier, though 20% of their sale now online, but the offline businesses have done incredibly well as well.
And so for investors looking for some exposure in that sector, is there still value in retail?
Look, we do believe so, especially for the retailers have yet to update the market. We are seeing quite a large share price jump following those expected earnings upgrades. So my view is that you should continue to find companies that have yet to upgrade, and that is coming to a very positive earnings season.
And one other sector I want to talk about briefly, oil producers. They've also outperformed on the market today. What's your take on the sector?
Yeah, the sector actually has is looking very cheap, given where the oil price is. Now, with the world is returning to growth over this year and following next year as well, it is expected that oil companies should do much better, given how badly they've performed compared to the rest of the market last year.
Junbei Liu there from Tribeca Investment Partners. Now let's talk about Coon Cheese. It's getting a rebrand following some public criticism of racist connotations. The 85-year-old product, now owned by Saputo Dairy Australia, will be repackaged as Cheer Cheese. That's Cheer, C-H-E-E-R. The company says the name change reinforces its commitment to build a culture of acceptance, inclusion and respect. And for more on that and the marketing strategy behind it, I spoke with marketing expert Dee Madigan from Campaign Edge. Dee, did Coon Cheese need a rebrand?
I think so. I think the word coon is so problematic now that people are starting to get uncomfortable just picking it up and putting it in their trolley.
Is it purely a financial decision, though, do you think?
I hope it's not just a financial decision. I genuinely, from listening to the people at Coon, it seems like a really reasonable decision made for reasons beyond financial, for the right reasons, if you like.
And are organisations becoming increasingly pressured to do this sort of thing?
I don't know whether they're increasingly pressured, although there is certainly some pressure on that, but there is certainly... companies are doing it more often. So we've seen it in America. We saw the Washington Redskins rebrand as the Washington Football Team. In Australia, we've seen Redskins and Chicos become what was it, Cheekies and Red Ripper. So, you know, it is something that happens now. People are more aware of it, and I think it's kind of nice that companies, you know, accept that it's okay to change things.
And do these rebrands generally work, both from a business and a social perspective?
Interestingly enough, 70% of rebrands fail, but that's for a whole lot of other reasons, and that's because often they'll change the name and they'll change the logo and think that's what a rebrand is, and it isn't. A rebrand actually needs to start from the inside out. In these cases, I'd say it's not actually a rebrand. It is just a rename. So if you look at, say, the Coon Cheese, which is now Cheers Cheese, it actually deliberately looks very, very similar to the old name, and that's deliberate. So if you're going along in the supermarket, you see that, you probably don't even register the name change. You'll pick up and you know the cheese that you know. So they've deliberately kept it quite similar. So I would say in these cases it isn't a rebrand, it is just a rename. And that also, I think, goes for Redskins and Chico's.
Dee Madigan there from Campaign Edge. That is SBS On The Money for this Wednesday, the 13th of January 2021. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.